let's talk movies, and I can like turn this down now. So we're driving back from the Dallas International Film Festival, and this is officially the second night of the festival, the first night for us, because we went to see The People's Joker last night. So
correct.
So it's the first night at the Dallas International Film Festival. We saw two films. We saw We Strangers and In a Violent Nature. I don't know. Thoughts overall? Well, thoughts like on the vibe of the festival to start?
Yeah, no, it's always fun. I'm digging it so far, and like I hope that it continues throughout the I hope that it doesn't like we said before, it doesn't lose steam as we get into next week. But I figure that it will, just by the nature of the beast of these things. But as a Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday kind of screenings go,
right,
I can't imagine it keeping up the energy. But it's nice. It's fun. It's like, I sit there and look at people's badges and really wonder, like, all right, what film was yours? And like you said, that your badge says a star. I'm like, that's a
star
weird
star of
that.
What?
Like,
I know.
Why wouldn't you just say filmmaker, right? Why wouldn't you just classify everyone as a filmmaker? Why do you want to like separate out actors and actresses and producers or whatever?
Right.
I mean, I don't even know. Like, I don't have any idea how they've discerned who's who and what's what.
Who's it's and what's it's
right.
of the festival in the festival language.
Also, dude, if you're a star, like, do you get a pass? Does that mean you get to go to all the other screenings as well? I'm assuming that it does, right?
I would think so. I mean,
I'm sure you don't necessarily, probably aren't there to do that, but I mean, like, if I were...
But wouldn't you want to see what else was at the festival that your stuff was?
Yeah, absolutely. And I would want to mingle and talk and like and see other, like, I would imagine if you're a filmmaker, you're curious about what else is coming to festivals and things like that. Yeah.
Right.
So I don't know, like, it'd be interesting to see, like, that's the one thing about this as well. Like, it would be cool to have, like, I don't necessarily think meet and greets is the right term, but like mixers or,
yeah,
like they're like the Violet Crown is so small in regards to the lobby, essentially.
And we didn't go into the lounge.
Right, we didn't go into the lounge.
Which we could have, we just didn't.
we're pacing ourselves.
Yeah.
It would be nice to, like, kind of, like, have an area to, like, chat people up a little
bit.
Where it felt like you weren't, one, it wasn't so loud and just... This was a better, more conducive environment to, like, speak to people about certain things. It'd be nice to have, like...
Almost like a mixed zone, like a mixed media kind of zone.
Yeah, right? Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And so, but no, I like this type of environment. And I'm excited about seeing potentially 20 films in the next 6 days, so...
Right. We've got a lot listed, and it'll be interesting to see how many we actually get through.
Right.
Or make it through, yeah.
I liked We Strangers better than I liked In a Violent Nature.
Okay, so yeah, let's talk about We Strangers a little bit, because I think I did too. It felt more polished. It also felt more assured of itself.
Yes, yeah. And the people who were in it were more established,
yeah,
as well, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's a... and I think, it, you know, looking... Just thinking about the themes, and it's about a house cleaner, a black house cleaner, and who's kind of put into these lives of these more affluent people in, I guess, Gary, Indiana.
Yeah, it's Gary, Indiana.
Which is an interesting... choice to, like, kind of spotlight, because what I've heard about Gary is that it's kind of like a ghost town almost now at this point. Like, it's...
Well, so for a long time, right, it was, its claim to fame was Michael Jackson.
Well, I thought it was The Music Man. I thought it was Gary, Indiana. I mean,
yeah, well, right. Sure, but also right. Michael Jackson,
right?
And you know, Freddie Gibbs.
Okay.
Freddie Gibbs with a song that you know kind of plays on that Gary, Indiana. Anyway, but it was also, for several years running, the murder capital of the USA.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Huh. So, I mean, you know, Gary's outside of Chicago, but I grew up in Indianapolis, so I mean, you knew that.
And you were killing people there?
Yes, I would go up there to sort of hone my craft.
Right.
But no, but
there was a who's who of murderers.
It was a
literal murderer.
Murderer's row.
all the finest of American murderers.
It was like a finishing school, right? It was like Gary, Indiana was like a finishing school.
If you could murder in Gary,
boy, you could murder anywhere. You'll kill it everywhere.
Murder anywhere.
Really killing it in Gary. But no,
that's the town slogan. It's on the postcard.
If you're here, you're killing it. Yeah. I don't
My dad committed murder in Gary, and all I got was this lousy bloody t-shirt.
I mean, we're kind of joking and shitting on Gary, Indiana right now, but...
I've never been, so...
I know, neither have I. but it's like East Chicago, right?
And it's a very minor point to this movie. It just happens to be on a water tower that they basically drive by.
Yeah, I mean, I wondered why they didn't play on that more. Right, because, I mean, Gary is not an affluent city. It is, I mean, like, so many of those cities that were based around industry, right, and, like, factory work.
Right,
there's not much going on, really, right? I mean, it's not in the Rust Belt, but it might as well. I don't think it is, anyway.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But, not sure. So the story, Kirby plays this house cleaner who gets invited to...
clean houses for
individuals, and then she basically kind of toys with them in a way.
Yeah,
and I think it's she's almost alien to them, and so she's trying to figure out but she's in these two households, and they're both extremely bizarre. Extremely dysfunctional, and she's...
And privileged.
And very privileged, yeah. Right. And she's in there basically kind of trying to feel out both of the families. She picks up on little visual clues that the husband the woman of one of the households is in love with the husband of the other household. You don't necessarily know if there's actually anything going on. Yeah. Between those two,
there may be an affair, may not be an affair.
But the middle class-er of the two households is a stay-at-home housewife who also is watching this medium on TV. And Kirby decides to say that she is in tune with. With the spirits.
Yeah. She's like, I can do that.
And basically, by looking around their houses and observing them, she is able to make them think that she actually can, you know, foretell the future and foretell their fortunes and speak to their dead relatives and manipulates them in that way. And then starts to kind of push them in directions like that they clearly probably want to go anyway, but but she kind of gives them the nudge.
Yeah, that they've needed or wanted or couldn't figure out how to do themselves.
Right. I think it's a really, like, you take the title, right? I mean, and it's Kirby. You know, she's obviously much more comfortable with her people, right? The people who aren't strangers.
Right.
Her mother, her girlfriend. I guess that's her girlfriend. I mean, she seems to be potentially bisexual. It's really kind of like not well
seems
defined.
Like a really best friend though.
But that's true, they were dancing together and like keeping protecting each other, so you
right
can, I guess you can play it either way.
And I think you see, like, I mean, no real joke intended here, but you do see women at clubs platonically dancing
sure.
with each other much more than you do see like men
right
with you know no yeah
and at any moment when she seems she does seem to get drawn into the game of it all, and starts to neglect her people, but then she's also like it confused by it, like, and kind of and taken advantage of by it, and ultimately. But I thought the whole dynamic was really interesting, and I thought how her focusing on her and watching her play it out and watching it, how it was kind of affecting her too, and then kind of coming back into reality. I would love to see it again. I don't know how I think I want to sit with it for a while before you know, I think I need to sit with my feelings on it.
Passing much more judgment.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, I like movies like this that will take sort of the very often overlooked workers, right? And, I mean, she's doing domestic work, right? She's going in and cleaning houses. People, you get this kind of two different approaches, right? They ignore her, like she's just not there, right? They talk about whatever they want, like she doesn't exist. Or it's like, oh, let me try to be your quote-unquote friend and help you with that,
right?
Right. Yeah. And so she plays on that once she gets sort of drawn in there. Because at first she's just like, I just want to do this job and just be done, right? Like, pay me, let me go home.
Right.
Pay me, let me go home. And then it's almost like, well, okay, if you're going to treat me like this, then I'm gonna have some fun here, right? I'm gonna twist the knife a little bit, you know, in not a malicious way, but just enough to make a kind of social commentary.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
The presence of the volcano and having that kind of always looming in the background, like, yeah. They have this story that they explain about how there was this prisoner in this town who was locked away in solitary, and the volcano erupted and wiped out the entire town, so he was the only one that survived. So it was this,
still alone.
A lot of it, like, do whatever the fuck you want to do, or eventually, yeah, like, your prison may become the thing that saves you. It's a kind of a interesting metaphor that I'm not sure. There's a couple things that didn't connect. Right, it didn't connect. And, like, the cha-ching noises when she was making money.
I know.
There were certain things that seemed like they were picked up on, but they kind of left aside after,
like,
a while.
Like, this will be cool. Oh, it wasn't that cool, but let's leave it in.
Right.
Kind of a thing. Yeah. How did you... So here's something that I maybe needed more of or wanted more of was, I guess, more of, like, her family-friend dynamic.
Right.
Because I couldn't quite... You understood that there was a disconnect there because she was spending so much time working, but I didn't. We didn't really see that,
right,
or enough of it, I think.
Right.
Because I wanted to, like, okay, what else is at stake here? What is she, like, missing out on? The scene, and I'm curious, like, how hard up is she?
Right. And you never really get an idea of, like, how much money she's being paid.
Right.
Aside from the $100 for the readings.
Yeah. Or how much she needs. Or,
right,
like, what, like, how, and I want to, or how tough life is. And I hesitate saying that because too often, right, I think stories with black lead characters are like, oh, look how
always
tough
about,
their life,
right,
is, right?
Right.
But I think there is a kind of question of that just because of the nature of what happens.
Right.
Right.
You know, and I think there's a lot of, like, I think the storyline, the film itself just tries to, might be too clever for its own good. Like,
yeah,
where, because there's a lot of things that, like, I think are, I don't know, when she gets too close to the family, right, and she's taking the daughter to the thrift store to sell clothes, and then that's when she wrecks her car as kind of a reminder that this,
yeah,
is not, these are strangers,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
You're integrating yourself too much with these people. And then the daughter obviously comes back to, like, betrays the wrong word, but, like, use her to cover up her own thievery.
Yeah, frames her in a way.
Right, yeah. And that seems like, you can kind of see that coming through. Like, I almost thought the movie's not going to do it because it's so obvious to do that
thing. But I think at that point, that's her way out.
Right, right,
right. And I think, because I'm like, okay, what are they going to do with this? Right, I mean, like, how is she going to respond to this? But I think she saw that as, like, this is my fucking way out of here. Right?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, I did too.
Not everything connected, but I liked it. I really liked the game she played with her mom.
Yeah.
Throwing the dishes into the sink from, like, the other room. You just have, like, broken glass everywhere.
Some of the visuals were interesting choices too. Like this, like I turned to you at one point. I was like, very at the beginning of the movie, like 30 minutes in, I'm like, I've been intense the entire time.
I know.
I kept waiting for some like really bad shit to happen.
So this was the other thing. I really like when a film can create tension out of absolutely nothing.
Right.
Just like nothing. Right. Yeah.
Like close-ups of disposals and like, you know, like pouring drink. I just kept waiting for, everything was so deliberate on screen that I just kept like thinking that something's going to happen. Something's going to like jar me.
Where's the jump scare?
Right. It felt like, it felt like, not Lynchian's not the right word, but you kept, and I think that's one of the things I think the film did really well is I think that's probably how black people feel a lot of times in these environments, right? You're always worried about some shit going wrong, and even if it's not a real presence, so kudos if that was the intent, because it really did pay off, like, and that was really cool.
Yeah, and there's always that awkwardness of, you know, of that person who's like, oh, let me help you clean this, even though I'm paying you for it.
Right.
Have you seen Joanna Hogg's Archipelago?
No, I have not.
So there's a scene in that where, and Tom Hiddleston is in that film as well, but they're kind of an affluent or like upper middle class family, and they have this house on this island, right? And they're all staying there, and they have a housekeeper, and he's like, oh, let me help you wash the dishes because you're part of the family. And it's like, that's so disingenuous.
Right.
And it's not true. Right? You're saying that's a sort of assuage your own guild, right? I know how to spell it.
Right. Assuage.
Assuage. It's Portuguese.
But and they do that as well when they're like, we're excited about your business, and they're not excited about the business, they're excited about her being a psychic medium.
So this is a big digression, but I just remembered this when I said Portuguese. So Maura Wagner, who's in Civil War, I know that episode hasn't come out yet by the time like this will come out.
Right.
But did you know that he is in a band in his native Brazil and the name translates to your mom?
No.
Yeah. Which I just think is like awesome. But I had to, so yeah, anyway. I wanted to get that in there.
We're
strangers.
There was one other point. The more I will like this movie.
Yeah.
I think the pieces will connect. I think we need to see Kirby in way more things.
I like her a lot.
Yeah, she's got, the way that she navigates all of it is, oh, well, that was what I was going to say. It's like that beginning scene where there's so much built up like white guilt tension in this for the white viewer.
Yeah.
Like there's a scene where at the very beginning when she's cleaning the house and the woman's like peering through the windows and she's like, and you get the feeling, I mean, at least that I did, you know, that she's gonna like, oh shit, you're gonna call the cops, or like something bad's gonna happen. I think all the beats for me, when I start to think back on them, like having her family come out and fix out and fix the car, I thought the sequence at the end where it becomes less about Kirby and like she reintegrates into her world.
Yeah.
That sequence where they're driving and you're in her van and just get that purple balloon that's like, they're going to a birthday party and there's a purple balloon in right where the rear view mirror would be, kind of in the center console, that like frames the two actresses in the scene. I was still tense even in those scenes. I was just like, really, what's going to happen here?
And I do think it's interesting, the more you think about it, to tease out that volcano metaphor.
Yeah, I agree.
Because we close the film with the volcano starting to erupt, but by this point, Kirby has joined in, like, in a full kind of, like, big, you know, party of, like, her, the people she wants to be with.
Right.
So this kind of idea of, and this is, I guess, where maybe the metaphor doesn't fully connect, is, like, was she trying to get away from that? Was that a kind of prison for her? Is that something she was trying to escape? Or like,
yeah.
Because now she gets to die with everybody that she loves.
Well, right, right. And there's moments, too, that, like, don't make a whole lot of sense on the surface. Like, there's moments where you, well, one, like, the cha-ching pieces of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
And also the, you know, we see moments of her scrubbing something, right? And it's yeah. not, it's just a close-up of scrubbing. Like, you're cleaning a dirty surface. And then the moment where you see the volcano and you see it burning, and then she wakes up to a house with the kids who have been cooking something, or I think that's what I think happened, and there's smoke in the house. I'm not 100% sure what to do with all those moments.
I know, I know.
I
wasn't either.
Yeah. But,
overall good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, overall it was a good first film, I think, to start the festival off on. Okay, so the second film we watched tonight was In a Violent Nature. And how would you describe that? And this was one of, like, the midnight special films, right?
Right.
So, it was a song and dance.
besides how they pronounced Ontario. Ontario.
That was part of the song and dance routine.
So this is a movie told from the perspective of a masked killer a la Jason, Mike Myers, lesser to an extent Freddy, but you get the idea. These horror franchise, I think a horror franchise killer, a hulking mass of paranormal humanity.
Of death.
Right,
yes.
Right, right. And so we follow him, and you basically see it essentially from his POV. The story is that he was a young child who was part of this logging community, and his father owned this shop. He was mentally handicapped, and the loggers didn't like his father, so they treated him poorly, and he accidentally fell out of a fire tower and broke his neck. And then 10 days later,
he grew.
Right.
He grew.
He got bigger.
And
the loggers were killed. They were massacred. So now it's this lore of this White Tower massacre or something.
White Pine.
White Pine
slaughter.
Yes. Yeah. And so we follow him, and there are campers. And of course, this follows basically a Friday the 13th type of storyline, but now we're seeing it through Jason's, basically behind Jason's POV. I thought there were some clever moments. And then, so the real draw to this is an IFC film. It's a Shudder original, so this will be showing up on Shudder. If you have Shudder, you'll be able to see it, I'm sure, relatively soon. The calling card of this will be its kills. So its gore is impressive. They're practical. They're inventive kills.
Yeah.
That's not really enough for me to sustain this movie long term.
No.
Right.
No.
Like, I don't like. And I think the real failing of this film is to make the. Like, even in the. You can say what you will about the Friday the 13th movies, they're all kind of repetitive. And whether you like those or not, your mileage may vary, right? But you have at least some sort of compelling storyline. Not compelling, but you have a reason to give a shit about the campers, right?
Yeah.
Yes, they're all, you do all want to see them oft, but you don't spend enough time with them in this movie to, like, actually care. So there's some clever moments, and there's clever dialogue that's in the background of all of these scenes, but you basically just watch a killer go from body to
kill
body.
Kill, right.
And I think on its face, it sounds like an interesting premise and kind of it's a clever meta-contextual look, a dissection of, like, looking. But I don't think it's any of that, though.
I think it's much with that.
Right. It doesn't have much to say about the killer, right?
Right.
The reason to follow the killer's POV is to give you insight into the killer. And there's nothing for the killer. There's no insight here.
No.
Jason doesn't have a backstory. Michael Myers doesn't have a backstory until six movies.
Until we get, like, retcon, right?
Right, right. Until you get six movies into the franchise, right? The best movie that ever did this was Behind the Mask and the story of Leslie Vernon. I don't know if you saw that or not. But it was a documentary film crew. Well, A Man Bites Dog is really the best of all of these, right? The Haneke film. But Behind the Mask is a documentary film crew that's going behind a mask. They go and they're filming a mass killer, and of course that they're trying to get the story behind there. And it's a better movie than obviously this one. But I mean, I will say, like, seeing a girl's head pulled through her own stomach, like,
okay?
Yeah, it was cool. Like, I mean, like, that's not, don't get me wrong, that was cool, but like, you compare this to something like Terrifier, which is all about the gore, right? And all about the kind of the tension of this guy just kind of like fucking shit up.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
This movie's about 20 minutes too long then.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, like, there's nothing interesting about being behind a hulking killer while he's walking. Like,
there's a lot of walking in this film. A lot of walking.
And like, in this case, like, why didn't you play with the tropes that Jason is everywhere, right?
Yeah.
That he just shows up in these places. Why don't you get into his mindset of like, all right, what the fuck does he do when he's not killing? Like, is there moments where he's just hanging out? Like, I mean, like, and again,
looking
I don't think
at the stars.
Right, I don't think you have to do too much with that, but this is clearly the conceit of this movie,
yeah.
Right? And this is like your clever take on it, but it's not clever enough. And so what you're left with is fun kills, but that's only going to take you so far. And then once you've seen them, they're no longer shocking or surprising. And then some of them aren't even really all that interesting. They're just gory.
And some you don't really even see.
Right. The drowning one. Like, and so that was... Okay. So he walks into a lake, and then he, like, walks over. Assume that he's like, walking over to the... So that's the clever part of this story, right? Is that what happens in between the kills? Yes, the kills can be gory and awesome, but what happens in between the kills is the funnier part, or not even funny. You don't have to make it funny necessarily, but that's why people are going to be watching this movie.
Or because there's nothing other than walking.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And like, so you get his motivation. You know, that is that they steal a locket that his mom wore, and that's and he now he's got to go back and find the locket in order to stop the killing.
Right.
And until that happens, like, yeah.
No, I mean, look, the story doesn't...
Right, it doesn't matter, right?
It's, yeah.
Right, and it didn't matter in Friday the 13th. It doesn't matter in Halloween, really. You're there to see the kills. But again, like, there's... I don't know. There's a purient nature to those movies. Like, you want to see the sex, right? You want to... Like, you talk about, like... Cabin in the Woods and like the cleverness of that film,
right?
And like, there's
is a real deconstruction,
right? Yeah. And yeah, and I think that coming on the heels of something like that, you really do have to up your game if you want to make this compelling, right?
Even if you're trying to do sort of a quasi art house film,
right?
Which I think that worked in their favor. Well, right. I mean, so like maybe that's us and other viewers sort of ascribing that to this film, but it does feel kind of precious. Some of it feels a little too precious,
right? But I mean, this is an IFC backed and a Shudder original. I mean, like, there was money into this. Like, you can also then look at like something like Last Night with the Devil, which is a much, much better film than this. I mean, they're not even the same.
Well, you know, that's because AI.
Because they had those AI. They'd have to spend that money, extra money on AI.
They're like, what if AI just writes this film? Oh, man, this is great.
We saved $400 on AI art. We could have paid that.
So maybe...
Put that right back into the...
Yeah, the I mean, this was...
I think there were clever moments, and I wasn't necessarily taken... I wasn't...
Where am I?
Wholly disappointed for... Yeah, see where this car is about to turn?
Yeah.
If you just go right past that, and then my yard is right there. Right past
here it is. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. But yeah, I'm not I didn't hate it.
Right.
But when I heard about it and the first opening sequences and you're seeing this person walk, I'm thinking, okay, we've got something here. Let's see what they do with it. And then all right, we cut back to if you cut the walking scenes out of this, it's a 30-minute film?
I know, yeah.
And then the movie tries to set up this ending where the final girl exists and you shift focus to her because the killing has stopped.
Yeah.
But then you spend a good 15 minutes in that sequence, kind of expecting there to be one final kill, or like, you know, like all of these other movies do, right?
And just way too much talking.
Right. Yeah, and then she's telling a story that you think applies to the killer, to Johnny, and it's like, but it doesn't pay off there.
No.
So the movie ran out of steam. They needed another 15 minutes to kind of flesh out the you know, 85 to 90 minute runtime or whatever it was.
Right.
I don't even know. Like, it felt much longer.
It really did.
And especially for a midnight movie, you need something to, like, you can't let people drag the last. You've got to have some sort of tension. Like, they should have had him killed. He should have had him kill them both. Or, like, her get away. The person who helps always gets killed anyway.
I know.
Like, have her end up, like, the lady who's got her in a car, have her get killed, and then have her wake up in the hospital, end of story.
Right.
And then you can do the shot of the gas can and the locket missing, and, oh, he's at peace now until, for whatever reason.
At least for a few more years.
But yeah, I mean, it was a idea that didn't have, that couldn't have, like, here, that's, we talk about this a lot, but, like, if had this have been a, you know, a 30-minute short,
right,
where
right,
you had your high-level kills in there, you don't have to do everybody, or you just kind of bang, 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 right? I mean,
right.
Like, and rather than watching him literally walk around buildings.
Well, then you can do more of the walking,
yeah,
right? To build up to that other stuff. But, I mean, in a feature-length film where it's mostly just walking.
Yeah, and it's
so much walking.
It really is a lot of walking.
I mean, I appreciate the long takes.
Right.
Right? I mean, I like that, but man.
Yeah, it feels like an exercise for film school students and special effects people
right.
to see if they can do what they think they can do.
Right.
I mean, like, look, the yoga girl getting killed and having her neck break and having that bone pop through, not pop through, but like show up on the skin and having her face, having her head pulled through the hole that he created in her stomach. And then, you know, I thought the wood splitter was a clever, although I kind of wanted him to split him down the middle.
I know.
I thought he was going to put
them
on.
Was going to happen.
And I will give them the look and the mythos of this character.
Yeah.
Is a cool character.
Cool,
like,
yeah.
And it could, like, had this have been a better film, I can see this being a franchise. Like, I could see you going back to this guy and seeing figures of this guy being created.
Yeah.
It's a cool look. It's like, I mean, it's kind of akin to My Bloody Valentine, in
with
a sense.
Gas mask.
Right.
Yeah.
But the hooks and stuff are cool looking.
Oh yeah.
And they're cool. But that's the other thing too. I wanted more like silly Jason and Michael stuff too. Like, if he gets shot, he pops right back up.
Right.
Or he does something like so superhuman strength-esque. Like, I wanted him to take those hooks and like spin him over his head and like cook the ATV
and like,
yank one of those kids back. You know, just do crazy stuff.
Yeah.
And
I think this would have been much better as like an homage film.
Yeah.
Rather
yeah.
than like an attempted deconstruction.
Yeah, and I think
of the genre.
And I think that going in with that expectation, even though we didn't like really, I mean, like, we read the film beforehand, but it was a two sentence thing.
Right.
But going in with that expectation, especially at a film like this, would have played probably really well at Frightmare, right?
Sure.
Because
yeah.
it's a more forgiving crowd. They're just going to be looking for the gore, and they're not going to give it. Like,
they're going to be more vocal.
Right. Yeah. They would have been really into it, screaming and hooping and hollering, and then, you know. But it seems like an interesting choice for the diff to include this in their selection, just because it doesn't seem like a film that fits really,
right?
Especially from an IFC and Shudder perspective. But you know, I mean, like I said,
it seems like sometimes, yeah, IFC, Midnight, and Shudder will try to do like an artsy film from time to time. Didn't they do The Strings?
Maybe. I don't know. I have to go back and look. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. I know Shudder, you're listening. Right? But
look, I don't have any problem with Shudder originals.
No. But I feel like sometimes they will try to do that kind of art house film, and The success, you know, your mileage may vary on.
Honestly, I think this will probably play pretty well on Shudder. I think people will talk about it. I think, but I do. I don't think
kills alone.
I don't think it has legs, right? I don't think this is something that people are going to come back to, like The Terrifier, because, and again, I'm sure you haven't seen those, but like, but I mean, they're all about the gore, and they're all about the,
and they play to the crowd,
right? They play to the crowd. Yeah. That's the thing, is that they know what they're doing, and they. And they know, who is watching, right? So it is all about...
Yeah, they know their audience.
Right. It is all about just gallons and gallons and gallons of blood. and being kind of funny and tongue-in-cheek. That's the thing that this movie is also lacking. Is that some of the dialogue is clever and funny, but you're only, like, laughing because...
It's also kind of bad dialogue.
Right, because you've heard it, before, right? I mean, so, like, they're talking about, like, stupid sex stuff or
hey, you know, ugly motherfucker, right here.
That kind of a thing it's just because you've been hearing it since 1980 in all these movies, right? bad is, what are you gonna do?
Look, you bat 333, you're going to the Hall of Fame, we're batting 500. So far, there you go. I think overall, not a bad first night or first day of the festival with those two films.
Agreed.
And there'll be more.
It looks like almost 17 more to go.
So
buckle in, screamers.
And you will get a report home each night.
Yeah. So we're this is Screaming on the Road.
Screaming on the Road with Wilhelm and the Dallas International Film Festival.
Will and Helm.
I guess we'll just scream at you tomorrow.
It sounds good.
All right.
You have been listening to Why Does the Wilhelm Scream with your hosts, Brock and Jason. If you like today's episode, do us a favor and rate, review, and subscribe in whatever application you use to consume podcasts these days. You can reach us by visiting whydoesthewilhelmscream.com. If you are in the DFW area, we would love to see you at a Fort Worth Film Club event. You can learn more about those and find a full schedule at fortworthfilmclub.com. And you can learn about my foundation and how we are trying to foster the next generation of film lovers at realhousefoundation.org. That's REEL housefoundation.org. Till next time.